tonight on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. We have Elise Glink from ThinkLink.com, as well as Doma Tipongo, David Gunning from the exciting new movie Sick for Toys, and the founder and CEO of the Black Ensemble Theater, Jackie Taylor. But now, live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, here is your host, Andrea Darlis.
In the greatest city in the world, Chicago, Illinois. I'm Andrea Darlis. This is the Patty Vasquez Show. With me, Patty has the night off, and we are going to kick off this night. Wow, what a roller coaster ride today on Wall Street with the Dow Jones Industrial Average swinging from a session low where it was down 784 points to end the day with a decline of just 77 points. So we had to check in with our favorite financial expert, and I think the best in the biz, Elise Glink. Hi, Elise.
Hey, Andrea. Nice to be here.
God, I miss you. I haven't talked to you since, I hear you all the time. I know when you fill in for the business lunch and I get your emails every week, but it's so nice to talk to you.
It's really nice to be here. It's nice to check out the evening edition of WGN for a change instead
right?
of noontime.
I know. We don't have the glare of the sun, that's for sure. We have the beautiful view of Navy Pier and the lake and the river.
Lovely. Absolutely lovely.
With the holiday lights, of course, shining. But holy cow, Elise. I mean, when I first saw the news, well, yesterday I knew, and then, of course, today, down, 784 at one point to end the day. What a rebound. I mean, I'm sure this wasn't the biggest that we've seen this year, but holy cow, why?
Why? I think that's a great question.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of started yesterday with our tweeter-in-chief who, you know, was... I don't know. He's a tariff man. I think this is the Stan, you know, Stan Lee would have a field day if he were still with us, and I do wish he was. But the idea that the president can tweet something like that, I think, set everybody very nervous. But that in conjunction with the fact that the yield curves inverted made everybody even more nervous. So what happened? Break it down. The long-term interest rate suddenly became, lower interest rate than the short-term rate. They crossed when they shouldn't. Typically, when you have a shorter-term mortgage, that interest rate is lower. Longer-term mortgage, that interest rate is higher. And things shifted around. It made the bond market very nervous.
Now, we're toward the end of the year, obviously, and everyone's going to be checking the portfolio, end-of-the-year gains, or so we hope, fingers crossed, 401k. You always say, don't look every day, don't make any rash moves, stay the course. You're very consistent with that, Elise. But again, you can't help but just question the volatility, especially toward the end of the year.
Well, end of the year doesn't really mean much if you're in the market for 20 or 30 years, right? It could be, if December 31st is the day that you've picked once a year that you're going to adjust your, you know, portfolio, then you should still do that. I know that would be very hard to do when the market is, you know, gyrating like crazy, but you have to ignore everything and stick with your plan. I learned so much from my grandfather about this. He died a long, long time ago, but when I was in high school and we would watch the market together, we would watch that running ticker on WCIU before there was even like a stock market show. You know, he would say to me, look, you know, you have to have a philosophy, whatever that is. You know, if the stock doubles, you sell half, you hold until it triples, then you sell whatever you sell. You always want to just stay the course and lock in the gains and not let yourself get pulled, even though emotionally all of us are feeling the pain from the last few days and you're wondering whether you should stay or whether you should go,
right,
sell it all, buy more. It's too hard to know.
It is too hard to know. I know the markets have been on a hair trigger all week, mainly in response to confusion over the details of the trade agreement that you briefly mentioned by President Trump and China's President Xi Jinping at the G20 Economic Summit in Argentina. But even so, with that being said, once the details of this trade agreement are reached and we know what they are, or if there's no deal at all, is this going to hinge on that? I mean, are we going to be kind of on this teeter-totter back and forth until that is executed?
Well, I don't know which way that's going to go, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there were events that happened today in other parts of the world that I think are going to impact that. But if you take a step back, Andrea, you have to ask yourself, what is the stock market supposed to tell us? And what it's supposed to tell us is that 9 months to a year down the line, the economy is going to look like X. And, you know, the stock market is supposed to be this advanced predictor. And I think people forget about that, especially we get caught up in this kind of moment-to-moment trading that we're all, you know, supposed to not do and want to do. But, you know, if you take that step back and you take a look, you say to yourself, the stock market has basically been on a tear for the last 10 years. On March, I think it was March 9th, 2009, mm-hmm. you know, the stock market hit a low. It was around 6,600. Today, it's roughly around 24,000. Okay, that is a huge increase in 10 short years. And we've never had, we're almost at a historic long bull market. And so at some point in time, the market has to pull back. And at some point in time, we're going to have another recession. And the question you really have to ask yourself is, when is that recession coming and how bad is it going to be? And what is the stock market trying to tell us, if anything? And I think that that's the question you should be thinking about is what's going to happen in the next year, year and a half?
What's going to happen within the next month as far as holiday sales, though? Because don't we always see, you know what I mean? I know, and I'm asking you to look into your crystal ball, and I know that's it's probably crazy at
it's
some
cracked.
Point, too.
It's cracked I know everybody else's.
Right.
Me throwing it against the wall right. in frustration.
We need more duct tape. A lot more duct tape. But this is typically, you know, and we're going to talk in just a few minutes, too, about your great your latest email, which was awesome to me about home buying and why December actually could be a good month for buying a home. But as far as holiday sales, isn't this typically the happy time of year? You know, the wallets are open, the cash registers are cha-chinging, and this is where we're spending money.
Right. Well, the good news is that we are spending money. So people are getting little increases or even more than little increases in their pay, which is nice to see for the first time in a long time. And they actually are opening their wallets and charging. So we're seeing the amount of credit that's been extended nearly, I think it's at a record high this as of this month. Mm-hmm. So that is good and bad, right? But right now it's good because it's pumping into the economy, which is nice. And we are seeing sales robust, I think is a good way of putting it, you know, fairly robust. What you're not seeing, though, are good strengths in the home sale numbers. New construction is still not pumping what it should into the economy. Mm-hmm. People are not able to find the houses they want to buy. And mortgage interest rates, which were a little over 5% a couple of weeks ago, have now dropped back to about 4.75% for a 30-year fixed-rate loan, still about a point and a half higher than the low. So there's some mixed signals out there. I think people should be cautious.
Absolutely. We're talking to our financial guru, Elise Glink. Elise, hold on 1 second. We're going to come back and talk about your latest email, which you can get all the info on your website, which is thinklink.com. Couldn't get much easier than that.
No, absolutely.
Okay, hold on 1 second, Elise. We'll be back after this on 720 WGN. 719, 720 WGN. We're talking with our financial expert and guru, Elise Glink. Elise, I look forward every week to getting your emails. You have just the most interesting and the greatest articles on everything, home buying, financial advice. How can people sign up and get your emails?
Oh, it's so nice of you to say that, Andrea. They just have to go to the website. It's all free. There are no ads on it. It's just me sitting down every week and finding something to say. But it's just go to thinklink.com. A little pop-up with my smiling face will show up, and you just sign up there, and then you'll be on the newsletter list.
It's free advice, and it's great advice. And what caught my eye this week is buyers rejoice. December is the best time to buy a home. And I went, stop, reverse, wait, what?
I know. We've had this conversation before. You know,
yeah.
There's this idea that everybody in the real estate industry thinks, and this is because it used to be true, of course, is that spring is the best time to buy or sell a house. And that hasn't really been true for about 15 years. So it is true that it's slightly more activity, but overall, it turns out that the people who are really out this time of year braving our wonderful Chicago winters are the ones who are really serious about moving.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who keep their homes on the market in the midst of all the wonderful holiday activity and try to keep it clean in between showings, they're the ones who are super serious. And when you get a super serious buyer and seller together, you end up with a deal, and those tend to close at fairly rapid paces. So it's really, nationally speaking, it's a really good time to buy or sell in December. And I think that'll hold true for this December, even in Chicago.
Yeah, and you go on to say that the day after Christmas, actually, the 26th, is when buyers can get the biggest discount. How big are we talking, Elise?
you know, it's not like a 50% off sale. I want to set expectations appropriately.
Yeah.
You're not going to get that house down the street
for
70.
It's not like a BOGO, you know.
That's right. But you will be able to find deals anywhere, typically around 7%, 7 to 8%. And the reason that I think you see that is, you know, it's the day after Christmas and everybody is thinking about the end of the year and school, and they want to get things processed and done and in the pipeline, let's say, for, you know, before you get too far into the spring market. And, you know, spring has nothing to do with the spring market, by the way. It's usually the day after Super Bowl. So
yes.
Super Bowl Sunday is the demarcation point for spring, and everything before that after Thanksgiving is winter. And so you can see that seasonality is a little bit different in the land of real estate.
Got it. So has 2018 been a better year for buyers or sellers?
Buyers, by far.
Okay.
And especially here in Chicago. So there are neighborhoods that are doing well, and there are a lot of neighborhoods like the North Shore, wealthier areas in the western suburbs that have great school districts and should be doing really, really well that aren't. And by that I mean you see houses sitting on the market for longer periods of time. Some houses are selling for less or about the same as what they sold for in the, as we call it, the aughts. So between, you know, if you bought it from between, say, 2000, 2007 or 8, you might be selling your house for about the same price that you paid for it,
yeah,
which is not very much and very disappointing for sellers.
Yeah, absolutely. It is disappointing that we're kind of at the same level as we were 11 years ago.
Well, I hate to say it, but of the top 20 metropolitan areas, Chicago ranks dead last in terms of home appreciation, number of homes that are still underwater, meaning that they're worth less than the mortgage amount, or near parity, where they're worth about what the mortgage is. We rank dead last, and that's really unfortunate. It's kind of, you know, I'm hard-pressed to understand exactly why, because like you, I think this is the best city in the whole country.
Yeah, I do too. And then, you know, we did the story actually for Channel 9 a few months ago about how more people left Illinois in the past year or year and a half than ever before. And they're going to, well, maybe mainly because I'm assuming of taxes.
Well, there's taxes. And listen, our politics has,
sure,
in the state has not the best reputation.
Right.
But we have a lot to offer in this city, and if you're committed to living in this city, you got to find a place to live. And so, yes, some people are going to cross, you know, and live in Wisconsin, and other people might live in, you know, Indiana, but mm-hmm, that's not an option for the vast majority of us. Nobody wants a 2-hour commute every day. So you're going to live in the city, you're going to live in the state, and, you know, my hope is that this change of political leadership that's coming, both in the city of Chicago and the state, we'll have some very positive changes for everybody and bring people back here.
I hope so. I hope it's another buyer's year for 2019. And if you're selling too, we hope you get what you think your home is worth or what.
Gee, are you looking for a house to buy, Andrea?
We should talk. We'll talk. But I have to say, as long as we're talking about buying, everybody, and I'm not just saying this, I've said this for years since you gave me a copy of your book. It has been like the Bible for home buying, and I know you have a brand new edition out, and hey, you know what? Christmas isn't far away. This would be a perfect gift.
Well, it's funny. I did a Twitter chat today, the busiest Twitter chat I've ever done for Wisebread, about questions that a first-time home buyer should ask. Talk about a layup for me, right? Because the book is 100 questions every first-time home buyer should ask. But what I thought was so terrific were not only the questions that people in this Twitter chat, you never know who it is or where they're from, but the volume of questions was really stupendous.
I mean, really?
Just an incredible number of people asking, and I thought that was a really good sign, because we've seen, you know, millennials who tend to use Twitter more than anything else,
yeah,
you know, just in terms of an age group, are so far behind where baby boomers or even Gen Xers were at their age in terms of home ownership. So when baby boomers were where millennials are today, half of them owned homes. Today, only less than a third of millennials own homes. And that sounds like maybe not such a big difference, but it's a big deal to the economy. It's a big deal to the way that you build and accumulate wealth your whole life. I'm a big proponent in home ownership driving tremendous amounts of wealth for people. And you don't even have to make a whole lot of money. It just grows over time.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, I get nothing for saying this. I just told Michael when he starts looking to buy, I'm buying him this book because Bob Ross even said there ought to be a law requiring buyers to read this outstanding book. I mean it. You save me money. You save me heartache. I love the chapter. And I always bring it up to you, Elise, about running the dishwasher, and that saved me a couple hundred bucks right there.
I know. It's so funny because, and of course, all of my own mistakes, you know, that I made early in my life with Sam when we were looking at houses, all of them are in there, right? This is everybody's like, oh, you're going to write a memoir? I said I did. All of my real estate mistakes of my life, of which there were many. So benefit from my mistakes and don't make them yourself.
Absolutely. And where can we get the book and to sign up for your weekly emails, which are invaluable as well?
Sure. You can get the book anywhere books are sold. Amazon is a good place. BarnesandNoble.com is a good place. Wherever you get books online, you can find it. And then the newsletter comes out every Mondays, and you can get it at thinklink.com.
Elise, thank you so much. We know it was a busy day for you, but thanks for your time.
It's a pleasure, Andrea. See you soon.
Okay, sounds great. Happy holidays to you and your family.
Oh, you too, honey.
Take care, Elise. She is the absolute best. I'm getting it for you, Michael. I wish I could buy a copy for every single one of our listeners. I really mean it. I used it. It is fantastic. 100 questions every first-time homebuyer should ask, and it's at thinklink.com. We'll have news next on WGN. 7:35 in the evening, 7:20 WGN. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with me, Andrea Darless. Patty has the night off. We are just less than an hour away from the Blackhawks pregame, as Jen just mentioned, with Chris Bowden. Hawks will be playing at 9 o'clock tonight in Vegas against the Golden Knights. All right, I'm excited. If you are looking for one of the best holiday-themed horror films of the year, you got to see Sick for Toys. We're pleased to have on the line with us the star and producer, David Gunning. Hey, David.
Hey there. How's it going?
Great, thank you. God, the reviews coming in for this are just out of this. You hit it out of the park, I think, with this one.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we're really excited. Things are going very, very well. As a holiday horror thriller.
Yeah.
It seems to be a film that's kind of, you know, goes against the grain of a lot of, you know, the happier, the go-lucky Christmas films. So things are definitely looking up for us.
You thought Halloween was the end of it, but this is a holiday dinner gone terribly wrong. You're already being hailed the Dallas International Film Festival with the Grand Jury Prize nominee, so congratulations for that. Great accolades. The movie is out now, and tell us a little bit about it, David.
So Sick for Toys, in a short synopsis, so to say, is it's about a film set during Christmas time. It's about a guy who is really down on his luck, and he thinks that he has found someone that he can really relate to, and he takes a chance. And what happens is he winds up being the guy who's in the wrong place at the wrong time, and once that dinner scene hits, a lot of things go spiraling down real quick.
Oh, big time. I was calling the synopsis Home for the Holidays meets American Horror Story.
That would be a very fair assessment.
Is that a good one? Tell us, you know, I know you're starring in this. What was it like starring in a horror film, kind of a slasher flick, based around Christmas and the holidays?
Well, I think for any actor, a lead role in a film is basically any performer's dream. We all want some kind of lead role. So whether it's a horror or drama or comedy, either way, you just want to do your best to become that character, really dig in and give the audience your best. And what really happens in the end is whatever you give, hopefully the audience likes it. And in reality, whether they like it or they don't, or they could even, hate your performance, at worst, I think going into it, you just have the mindset of this is always a great opportunity. And it's always a blessing to be in front of the camera.
Absolutely. And you're getting rave reviews, as is your co-star Camille Montgomery, who plays Amelia. And what kind of caught my eye when I was reading the reviews is that I guess you guys knew that Camille was the perfect actress for the role as soon as you saw her submission tape. So knowing the role that she plays, what was on her submission tape? How are you cast for this kind of a role? I mean, how dark do you have to be?
Camille, what we were really looking for was someone who could keep the innocence of an adolescent and also have the murderous tendencies of, quite honestly, a psychopath.
Uh-huh.
So trying to find that balance with the female lead was very difficult. We had tons and tons of submissions. But essentially what happened is we saw Camille's tape very early.
Uh-huh.
And we said, we put her aside. We said, we really, really like her, but mm-hmm. let's look at some others. So we wound up looking at a couple hundred other tapes. And she just nothing, no one could beat her out. She set the bar so high that that was who we went with. The director, David Del Rio, he loved her, and our other executive producer, and also another star of the film, John Paul Burkhart. We all sat there and we looked at each other and said, this is our lead. This is her.
What was it like working? Now, you mentioned David Del Rio. This is his feature directorial debut, written by James Andrew Oster mm-hmm. and Justin Xavier, who also was in the film, too. What was it like working with David for the first time?
So working with David on a feature, this would be our first feature performance together. And actually, to backtrack, we have worked on some smaller projects. But as far as a feature and being there for weeks at a time and doing a whole film, it was quite an adventure. David Del Rio carries an energy with him that we really find to be completely unmatched. He is the captain of the ship, and boy, does he run a tight ship. He has the actors on their toes, playing different games, just putting us all in the right mindset as a director to do everything that he can, so that he can do everything possible to make sure that we get the best performance. And it's always fun. That's the key. His sets are just always filled with energy. And I think as an actor, it's super important to feel confident on set, because the minute that you are feeling down or maybe you're out of the scene, the camera will pick it up. So David's saying is always, don't worry about looking good. That's my job. I'll get it done.
Yeah.
And that's what we really feel like he does.
You just act. You just do what you do best.
Yes. With a little bit of guidance from David. Yeah.
You know, and again, I'm reading the reviews. Captivating, creepy, but in the best possible way. We're talking to David Gunning, who's the star and producer of the new holiday horror film that's out now called Sick for Toys. I have to ask, looking at some of looking at the trailer, obviously, and the pictures and the stills from the set, what was it like being on a set like this? I mean, in between takes, I mean, it seems like your cast all gets along. You put all your trust in David, aptly so. But in between takes, are you guys laughing? Are you laughing? Are you goofing around? Are you trying to keep it light based on the subject material?
I think most likely earlier in the day, we're laughing and having a good time. But by the time that 12 to 16 hour range really owns in, we're all laser focused and just making sure that we get all the shots in and making sure that we're really just giving our best effort and really getting the shots so that our audience can fall in love with our characters and fall in love with the project as much as possible. Walking off the set at the end, feeling like you did your job, that's what's really important. So it really is a mixture of being on set as far as a film like this, a horror film, thriller, either or. It does get intense because there's a little bit of drama. There's definitely a little bit of blood to go around.
Sure.
So, yeah, so that can definitely get into your psyche and you just do your best in the end.
Was it a fun role for you?
Very much so.
Yeah.
So when I dove into this role, I had to find my inner sixth grade nerdy, awkward, staged inside personality. What Roy, my character, is a very introverted guy. He always finishes last, always tries too hard, is very awkward, and he never seems to win. And to be honest, that's kind of how I felt when I was in sixth grade.
I was going to say, what was the real sixth grade like for David Gunning?
Oh, man. I was definitely afraid to talk to any girl out there. I remember trying to speak to one girl, and my friend said, "Oh, give him your number, give him your number." And she just turned to me dead stone cold in the face, and she said, "No."
No.
Yeah, and I just tried to find that feeling of just being crushed.
Oh yeah.
As that sixth grader and what it was walking up just desperate, high, you know, just very super introverted, super nerdy, and just super afraid. And so that's where I really tried to go. And hopefully that is what the audience picks up through my character.
Yeah, and I think we all have stories of that as well. I remember I was in fifth grade, actually, and I liked this kid in my class. I put a smiley face sticker on his desk, and I smiled, and he looked at me, and I thought, oh, this is it. And it turns out he thought it was the girl who sits in front of me and went and talked to her. And, oh, yeah. Crushing.
It's like not getting the Valentine's card on Valentine's Day. Right. Everybody gets one but you.
Yeah, if they could hear us now, David, right?
I know.
On WGN in Chicago, talking about your starring role here.
This is true. This is a pleasure to be on your show, and I appreciate you you inviting me on.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see the film. And again, what do you want people to take away from this? Everybody should see it. I mean, it's the biggest movie time of the year, December. You're with your family. Take your family to see this. Maybe not the young kids, but
yeah.
Go see Sick for Choice.
That would be my first advisory.
Yeah.
Don't take the kids. However, if you're getting tired of the happy-go-lucky Christmas film and maybe you want something a little more on edge or wild and that isn't 2.5-3 hours long, just a quick, entertaining film. Seasick for Toys. Seasick for Toys. You know, order it. You can find it anywhere on digital, basically all cable, DirecTV, all that good stuff. That's what I would have to say.
Awesome. I'm going to watch it this weekend. And again, appreciate your time. What are you doing for the holidays with your family?
I will be going down to a warmer climate down in Florida to hang out with the family. My wife and I, we have a newborn that's about 3 months old,
so it's
about time that we do a touch of traveling. It's been quite the roller coaster.
Absolutely. Well, I hope you're sleeping. I hope at least you're partially sleeping through the night.
I am. The schedule seems to get a little bit easier. Everybody says 3 months, and it really does seem to be this, I guess, internal clock with the babies. So she's doing great. Great baby. My wife's absolutely amazing at being a mother and also taking care of me as well.
Right. and babysitting her two kids now, right?
Yes, yes. I'm the older, larger child, and the baby is the actual baby. So,
well, congratulations on the baby and the film. And come visit us next time you guys are in Chicago.
I would love to. I see that the Bears are doing really well. I think Trubisky has a bright future ahead of him. And I am a huge Villanova basketball fan, so I'm rooting for Ryan Arcidiacono to really uplift those Bulls and get them back into contention.
Oh, absolutely, David. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you so much. And if I could just, if anybody would like to follow me on any of that social media,
please
follow me at David Gunning Act on Instagram and also on Twitter.
Easy
and
enough.
You can follow Sick for Toys at Sick for Toys Movie. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
You bet, David. Thank you so much. Happy holidays to you and your family. That's David Gunning, the star and producer of Sick for Toys. You got to see it if you're a horror movie film buff. Get on out there and see it. We'll have more after this on 720 WGN. I love this song. I'm glad you played this, Michael. I made my Amazon Christmas playlist today.
You did?
I did. I put Mariah Carey on there. I put Elvis Blue Christmas on there. Feliz Navidad. I had to put all the standbys.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to any of these pop-up bars, these Christmas pop-up bars yet?
I have. There was so much talk about the Santa Baby Bar that I had to go there. And the person that I'm dating right now.
Yes.
She is.
Who's adorable. We love her.
She is quite adorable. But she, even more adorable, loves Christmas. So
we
made sure to stop at one of these. And I actually live by a few that are very close by. I know There's, I think, Butch McGuire's is Christmas all year round.
Oh,
so I think there's a few.
I'm glad you brought that up. We did a trolley tour with my cousins a few years ago, and Butch McGuire's, it's like this, the little winter wonderland. Do they have the train still?
The train, yeah. Yes. If any bar that has a locomotive train, one of those train sets around the top, I will go to and I'll spend many hours there.
Oh, I know. We were like little kids taking pictures, waiting for the train to come around to our side of the bar. Oh, it's so much fun. Mm-hmm. We had our friend Terry the Elfin from the Elf Pop-Up Bar.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Terry had more energy than I think I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, talk about a character. And he was the entertainment director for the Santa Baby Bar. So if you listen to that interview, if any of our WGN listeners listen to that, you know that this is the place to be. Chicago is full of the holiday season.
Oh, no kidding. And if you're asking, if you're saying, where are these pop-up bars of which they speak, blockclubchicago.org has come up with a list of the 12 super Christmassy pop-up bars to get you in the holiday spirit. We just talked about the Elf one. That's at Stretch Bar and Grill, 3485 North Clark Street. There's Christmas Club. That's at the Country Club. That's at 3462 North Clark Street in Wrigleyville. And all of these, oh my God, everyone sounds... They all sound great. Some have donut holes. This one has donut holes and hot honey fried chicken waffle cones.
Oh, say no more, Andrea.
How could you not love a honey fried chicken waffle cone?
Which one's that?
I know, right, Jen? Have you been to any of these pop-up bars?
I have not had the Christmas ones.
The holiday ones, I should say. Okay, this is Christmas Club.
Okay.
And it's a country club. So that's in Wrigleyville, 3462 North Clark Street. And this, of course, cocktail themes for the holidays. And this is where they have the donuts and the fried chicken waffle cones.
You said it was a country club. I mean, for the listeners who haven't been there, it's not a country club.
Right, it's called country music club. Yeah, exactly.
I know the DJ there.
Do you really?
Well, one of them. So.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. And then Elfed Up. That was the one where we had Terry the Elf, our friend, 3485 North Clark Street. Frosty's. This sounds really, really cool, too. It's 809 West Evergreen. It's a three-story Christmas pop-up bar with DJs on every floor. Oh, yeah. Up to 300 guests.
Jen knows every single DJ.
Do you know? Yeah, right. She knows the DJ on every floor.
Yeah, no, I just had to throw that one in there because, you know, I just wanted to feel like I was 22 again.
I thought you were.
Yeah, wait a minute.
That was just
forever.
Last year, Jen.
No.
There's Happy's. This is the Christmas-themed pop-up bar in the CAA, the Chicago Athletic Association. Happy's has a full schedule of events, including karaoke. Again, say no more. Bingo. I love that. There's so many restaurants now. Traverso's in Orland Park offers bingo night now. Aww. I love bingo. I don't remember the last time I played bingo. Probably with my grandma.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the last time I played bingo.
And they're airing a Charlie Brown Christmas each night.
Aww.
That's my favorite Christmas TV show.
It is?
Yeah, this new
out of
one.
All of them, Charlie Brown
yeah,
Christmas?
That's my favorite. What's yours?
Womp, 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 womp.
Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown.
You know, I really like, I used to love A Christmas Story, and then they started doing that thing where they played it 24 hours on Christmas, and then I was like, all right,
enough
of that.
You got leg lamped out?
Yeah. Leg lamped out. Hashtag leg lamped out. Right. That's what I was. But, you know, my favorite TV, are we talking classics or kind of new classics?
Both.
Mine is, it's Elf. I mean,
oh,
I can't.
Oh, yeah. You gotta love Elf.
Buddy the Elf. He's a classic character. I was actually just talking to about Buddy the Elf with Jeff Carlin and Brian Altimer about how great they were.
So. I love Elf. We still have to do an Elf viewing party because Domo Tipongo has never seen it.
What?
Not to out him, but mm-hmm. He's open. He's been open about that. It's okay.
Yeah.
Jen, what's your favorite Christmas either cartoon or special every TV or on TV?
The South Park Mr. Hanky Christmas special.
Mr. Hanky. The Christmas.
Yes.
He loves me and he loves
you. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I don't know. I need to come up with something better than that. But hey, it's entertaining and it's colorful and ooh, colors.
Hey, right? And every time I see Rudolph, which I love too, it mm-hmm. makes me sad because they're so mean to Rudolph.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At least he won out in the end.
Yeah.
If you want to check out a list of some of these Christmas pop-ups, some of the others are Miracle Bar. That's at 505 North State. Krampus, another DJ. Jen, you probably know those too. Santa Baby, which Michael mentioned. Reindeer Room. Oh, this is really cool, too. The Reindeer Room. This is in Pilsen. 1807 South Allport in Pilsen. It looks like a giant, well, it's a giant reindeer room. It looks like a big giant stable.
Oh, cool.
So they also have a holiday market that's coming up this weekend as well. So you can buy some Christmas gifts as well. And Butch McGuire's, of course, is on here, Michael. Though not a pop-up like others on the list, Butch McGuire's is famous for its holiday decorations, which includes that awesome toy train that goes around the entire bar. If you want the entire list, all you have to do is check it out on blockclubchicago.org. We'll have Jen in the news next on 720 WGN. It's 8:07. Thank you so much, Jen. 720 WGN, the Pat Vasquez Show with me, Andrea Darlis. Patty is off tonight. We are just about 25 minutes away from Chris Bowden and the pregame as the Blackhawks take on Las Vegas. In Vegas, the Golden Knights. But first, we're so excited to have in studio Jackie Taylor, the founder and CEO of the Black Ensemble Theater. First of all, thank you for being here and congratulations. It's not often that we have a big award recipient in our studio. Just this week, you were awarded the 2018 Sarah Siddon Society Leading Lady Award. So congratulations.
Well, thank you so much.
What an honor.
Oh, my God. Yes, it is. I was speechless on Monday during the ceremony, yeah. And I'm still speechless today. On Thursday, 4 days after it's over, I'm still going, did that really happen?
Tell us about the ceremony and the award. That had to be just a wonderful event.
It was very inspirational. It's so wonderful when an organization like Sarah Siddon's, it's so wonderful when they support at what you're doing. And not only support it, but magnify it, give it credence, and honor you. It's mm-hmm. It's amazing to be honored for the work that you do, because you take it for granted. You do it every day.
Yeah.
You know, but they're a wonderful organization.
Well, you're so well deserving. You're a great company. I know John Mahoney. I mean, just an endless list of actors and actresses have received awards from Sarah Siddon Society. Black Ensemble Theater, I mean, that is just, it speaks for itself. As soon as you say it, everyone goes, Tell us about your involvement.
Well, I founded Black Ensemble Theater 42 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
And do you ever look back and go, 42 years, wow.
I look back every day and go, 42 years, where the hell did they go?
right.
Wow.
Since you started when you were two.
That's very true.
Yes.
But yes, and I'm the founder, CEO, and yeah. executive director. What can I say? You know, we bought a new building. We built a new building in 2011.
Uh-huh.
The Black Ensemble Theater Cultural Center.
Yeah.
We are getting ready to build surrounding communities. The mission of the Black Ensemble Theater is to eradicate racism.
Yes.
And we're going to take the mission of the theater outside of the theater walls and put it in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, we're building a whole village outside of the theater.
Literally.
Yes,
yeah.
Literally. So that we can build the kind of community that I started the theater for.
Right.
A community where you are free to be whatever it is that you are, as long as it's positive.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And you've really grown such a great support staff, and I think the community sees that too.
We have a great community. Chicago is absolutely so engulfing and warming, and we share resources. It's not, you don't find this community in other cities.
You
it's,
don't.
It's no place like Chicago.
No, we have just this, even amongst theater groups and other, you know, throughout the entire city, north, south side, west side, you see this sense of community and belonging and togetherness throughout all of our groups.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's the biggest change you've seen over the past 42 years?
None. No, I'm kidding.
let me say this. Change for the best. You know, like good change.
Well, you know, change is relevant.
Yeah.
Of course. Some things change and some things remain the same.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are beginning to understand and see what racism actually is. Yeah. The systematic engulfed systems that we have in our society.
Right.
I think people are beginning to recognize the lies and the not truths, the untruths. And I think we are growing to want to understand each other better,
yeah,
and want to accept each other's differences. And I think that has changed, mm-hmm, culturally through the years.
Yeah.
And we are opening up. People are, there are all kind of isms within racism,
sure,
sexism, feminism, which is not negative, but when it's anti-feminism, mm-hmm, it is. We're learning how to understand and accept those things that are different, and that's most important.
But you continue to thrive and thrive because I think your message is inclusion.
Absolutely. It's inclusion, it's diversity. We have to understand, as human beings, we are so much more alike than we are different.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to understand that this behavior is learned. It's not a behavior that we're born with. When we're born into this world, we are not any, we're not homophobic, we're not racist, we're not feminist, we're not sexist. We are just human beings.
We're one.
Yes. And we learn this behavior. The older we get, the stupider we get.
Mm-hmm. Do you find as well now, over the generations that you've seen, well, first of all, let me ask you this. Do you see generations now coming, you know, young kids now having families, and then their kids are coming to Black Ensemble Theater?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's absolutely wonderful. It's a little jarring at times. I know.
When your friends start having kids, and then they're in college, and then they start having kids.
Yes.
Like, wait a minute. Where did the time go?
That's right. Or when someone comes up to me and says, oh, hi, Miss Taylor. My grandmother brought me to see La 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 when I was 3 years old. Okay, that's wonderful.
Right, and now she's bringing her kids,
yes,
and possibly her grandkids,
yes,
at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be wonderful, you know, scary in some sense, but wonderful all in the same sense.
It proves that we as the human race deserve better than we give each other. And when we find it, we hold on to it.
Yeah.
We embrace it. When you leave the Black Ensemble Theater, you have to feel uplifted. That is definitely one of the criterias of why I built the theater. I did not want for people to leave feeling guilty,
mm-hmm,
feeling upset, feeling sad. If they want to do that, turn on the TV in the newspaper, and you
right.
don't have to, you know, spend money. You can just go ahead and
mm-hmm.
look at our everyday society, especially today,
right.
if you want to be depressed. I want people to feel uplifted and to feel hopeful and to understand that there is something greater beyond ourselves, and we have to have faith that things will be better.
Right. Send out, my mom always said this too, send out positive vibes.
Yes.
You know, if you are positive, positive things will happen around you.
That's right.
It sounds like that's your message too. I heard someone say one time that you never turn anybody, you don't turn people away. If somebody wants to come and learn or be a part of Black Ensemble Theater, everybody's welcome.
As long as they have a positive spirit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm an educator. I was a teacher with the Chicago Public Schools for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, my training is embracing and helping
yeah.
and supporting. And I believe that every single person, no matter their age, no matter their background, no matter what their challenges are in life, if they want to learn, then that needs to be fed.
I need to come and see performance soon. We need more positive in the world like you. We're talking to Jackie Taylor, the founder and CEO of the Black Ensemble Theater. I want to talk to you about Lena Horne and the Women of Soul.
Okay.
That's going on right now. Stay with us. More after this on 720 WGN. We are just about 10 minutes away from Blackhawks pregame with Chris Bowden. But for now in studio, we have Jackie Taylor, the founder and CEO of the Black Ensemble Theater and the most recent recipient of the Sarah Siddon Society 2018 Leading Lady Award, which you just received on Monday.
Yay!
You, so happy for you. The Sarah Siddon Society is wonderful and inspirational. In addition to the awards that they give out, we were talking about the scholarships that
yes.
they give out. They fund a number of scholarships
Absolutely.
For theater and other performance university students throughout the entire Chicago area.
Yes.
So they are a wonderful, they've partnered actually with the Chicago Humanities Festival as well to help expose young students from disadvantaged backgrounds to live performances.
Yes.
So they're a wonderful organization and it, well, so well-deserving.
Yeah. And they,
for you.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
And the Black Ensemble
thank
Theater.
You.
You have
thank
to be
you.
So proud of everything that you've accomplished over the past 42 years, Jackie.
You know, 42 years goes by so fast. You don't think about, you know, you just thinking about what am I doing next? What am I doing next?
Yeah.
You don't even realize it's 42 years.
Everybody, if you haven't seen a performance, you have to get to the Black Ensemble Theater. Performances of Women of Soul going on all throughout December as well. And
yes.
This has been selling out like crazy.
It's astonishing. The women are absolutely fabulous. You're going to see all kinds. And the tribute to Aretha Franklin is just something else.
Oh my gosh.
It brings, at the end of that, people just stand up and you see tears and cheering. And it's just an absolutely wonderful production written and directed by Daryl Brooks.
And this is a performance where you're going to see dancing. People aren't just, they're not going to be sitting in their seats. They're going to be dancing. They're going to be singing.
When you come to the Black Ensemble Theater, you come into a party.
That's okay. Right. Every performance as well. The website is Black Ensemble Theater, all one word, .org. You can get tickets to Women of Soul. Oh, and this is great too. We have to talk about celebrating the holidays with Black Ensemble, and that performance is on December 23rd.
Yeah, and that's all kind of Christmas carols.
Yeah, what else are we going to see?
Okay, Christmas carols. Donny Hathaway Christmas carols, Nat King Cole Christmas carols, done in only the style that Black Ensemble can do.
And there are still a few tickets available for this performance again, but they are going fast. A lot of your other performances of Women of Soul have been selling out very quickly. So again, it's blackensembletheater.org, and we have to talk about the Lena Horne.
Oh, that opens our next season.
Yeah,
the Lena Horne story.
And there's auditions now.
There are auditions going on right now. The folks can call the theater if they want and get on the audition list or go to the website. But that will open our season next year.
And can you hear that? It's every gentleman in Chicago going, oh, I'm sorry, wait, Lena Horne? What? Right? Have you heard that already? Ready?
Of course. Yeah. Of course. People are, it's amazing the response that we're getting.
Oh,
yes.
What a great idea. Have you done anything with Lena Horne in the past?
No.
Okay.
No, this is our
first.
Yes.
This is going to be sold out.
Yes.
This is going to be sold out, but the auditions are going on now. If someone wants to get involved with Black Ensemble Theater, can they?
Absolutely.
How do they do that?
They can go to the website. Mm-hmm. There's all kind of opportunities on the website. They can, or they can call in to the theater and say what they want to do, and they'll connect them to the right person.
Yeah.
Probably Gwen C., who handles all those things.
Excellent. So be nice to Gwen.
Yes.
She'll get you in. Give her a big hug when you get there.
But absolutely. We're open and ready.
You have to tell the story about that you were telling me off the air, too, about your interior designer of
yes.
the theater. I love this story.
Well, the interior designer of the theater is Dionne Warwick.
Does.
And when Dionne came to Chicago to promote the opening of the theater, mm-hmm. We were going from television show to television show to television show. So I just knew I had my painted face on and, you know, my hairdresser did a wonderful job and I was ready for television. And when I went to pick up Dionne at the airport, when she stepped out into the corridor from the plane, I was expecting her to be television ready because she knew we had to, you know, and she stepped out and she has this cap on and the cap was just an ordinary baseball cap. And I was like, okay, she's going to change in the cab. She didn't.
No. Well, she doesn't. It's Dionne Warwick.
Right.
She doesn't need to.
She didn't have to. And I never mentioned it. And I hope she never hears this story.
She's probably, she'll listen to this and she'll be laughing. She'll be like, yeah, you know what? I'm Dionne Warwick. I can wear a baseball cap.
I can wear a baseball cap if I want
and
to.
And she did a beautiful job on the interior design
of
the theater.
Yes, she did. Yeah. She's absolutely wonderful. And she's going to be our interior designer for our Free to Be Village.
And
so that it all coordinates and opens. And has a lot of energy, a lot of color, a lot of energy that says, You're welcome. Come in. Join us.
A lot of brightness.
Absolutely.
Bright colors and a good feeling.
Absolutely.
Do you find, Jackie, that a lot of young people want to get involved nowadays, too?
Oh, you know, we're recruiting young people every day. And yes, they call or they come in and they say, I'm a marketing person, or I'm a this kind of person, or I want to be an actor, or I'm. In fact, we just had one of our interns who was with us this summer come in tonight and to talk about his first couple of months in college.
Oh, how cool.
So it was really cool to hear the issues and the challenges that he's facing and that he came back to share that with us.
I love it.
Yes.
I absolutely love it.
Yes.
Congratulations on all of your success.
Thank you, sweetheart.
And tell us, give us some parting words from the Sarah Siddon Society 2018 Leading Lady Award winner. Leave us with some parting words for what you see for our future. What will 2019 hold for the Black Ensemble Theater?
Well, I tell you, what I think we all should hold for ourselves is to let go of the fear. Let it go. Let it pass through us, move through us, get past it, don't move on it, and know that after the fear passes, there's only joy. And let's celebrate and embrace in the joy.
Amen to that.
All right.
Jackie, happy holidays.
Same to you, dear.
Enjoy the wonderful season with your family.
Thank you.
BlackEnsembleTheater.org. Jackie Taylor. We'll be back after this. 720 WGN.